some mountain music like grandma and grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
All right, welcome back to RBKD. We are looking live here, hanging out at Total Men's Primary Care. There was a ribbon cutting, I believe, earlier, so this is a brand spanking new location for Total Men's Primary Care. It's at the intersection of Anderson Mill and 620. We'll be out here till 5:30, so come on out here. Plenty of reason for you to come out here, actually, if you got if you have a kind heart, I should say, and you're looking to give to the community, they have a great initiative happening right now, Toys for Tots, happening at all your Total Men's Primary Care locations all over Central Texas. So you bring an unwrapped toy to any of those locations through December 12th, and they will actually end up getting those into the hands of some young people and some kids and families that really need them. Also, you have a chance to register to win a lot of different prizes, all right? I just got a chance to see these Chiso's boots. There's a pair of Chiso's boots here.
These are slick, man.
They're basically, what I've been told, they're the most comfortable pair of boots you could ever wear.
They look
comfortable. I don't know a ton about boots, but that's the world in the street. So you could win a pair. They're right here in front of me, too. They look pretty cool. I love they have like a Texas symbol on the sole of them, which actually makes them pretty cool. But you can register to win a pair of those boots. Also, a Good Stock gift card, a Pluckers gift card, Mighty Fine Burgers gift card, a dugout at the Dale Diamond, and tickets to the World Champion Ice Racing. Speaking of ice racing, we're going to have a member of the ice racing community is going to join us. I believe an ice racer himself.
I want to find out about this.
Or
it sounds
herself.
Pretty cool.
I don't know. It maybe it's women and men that's ice racing. I don't know much about it. But we're going to find out a lot about it coming up here at 4:25. All right. We're going to be joined by a very special guest that's going to join us and tell us more about ice racing. Matter of fact, tomorrow at HEB Cedar Park Center, they're going to have the World Championship Ice Racing Series. It's going to start at 7 p.m. tomorrow night. So you actually got a chance to get in some of your football watching festivities and also get out there to the HEB Cedar Park Center to watch the ice racing championships.
Kids will love that.
ATVs on ice.
And so will adults.
ATVs on ice.
I know.
Man.
I just want to see what it looks like.
We're talking about flat track, motorcycle, quad racers. It's going to be crazy. So we'll get more details about that coming up here at 4:25. We'll get introduced to the ice racing community. I want to find out how long it's been around. And I've heard it's pretty dangerous. So these people.
Oh, I thought about you.
They got some scones.
They got some fortitude.
They got some testicular fortitude, plenty of it. So we'll talk about that more at 4:25. But get on out here, Total Men's Primary Care, Anderson Mill and 620. You can donate an unwrapped toy for Toys for Tots. You can also do that at any of the Total Men's Primary Care facilities at here in Central Texas until December 12th. So good for them, and we appreciate all of their hospitality here today.
Also got barbecue and cake because of the opening.
Ooh, that's right.
So if you are in this area,
come on through.
If you don't, yeah, stop by and you get something to eat as well. But don't forget, you've got a Total Men's Primary Care right in your neighborhood right now. All right, man, I'm excited about tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be, especially once we get to that spot where we've got high school football on and college football, I'm going to have all my TVs rolling.
How many TVs you got?
Computer's going to be real. I'll have.
You got that BK setup.
I'll have three plus the computer setup.
Okay.
So
all of them going at the same time?
All of them going at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with you. I'm just going to DVR all of them and watch them later. I try to just stay off social media. I can still watch all the games on my own schedule if I just stay off social media.
Man, that's tough to do.
It is tough to do. But I do it. I try to do it on.
That's impressive.
On Championship Saturday, I'll definitely do it. I have to do it.
Do you remember back in the day whenever you would spoil it for someone?
Oh,
they didn't
when,
know?
When they were videotaping?
Yeah.
Oh, they'd be really upset.
And a lot of people I know would come in and say, all right, before you even say anything, I don't know anything about Michigan, Ohio State. It's on the VCR. I'm going
don't
home.
Talk about
I'm
it.
Hitting play. Don't do anything. Oh, you're going to love the Woodson pick.
Shut up. Which is very unrealistic to hang out at a party or
right,
a gathering
exactly.
for a couple of hours and yeah. assume nobody's going to bring up the big game that day.
I was able to do that at a bar mitzvah for Kentucky Duke, 92.
Good for you.
You know, because we had no social media. So, no, and there were no TVs. It was like on a boat. And so, Bob Dunn.
Not a lot of college basketball fans either.
He picked me and a buddy up and said, all I'm going to say is it's unbelievable. So we were like, hit play. And we had no, we knew something was crazy, but we had no idea
exactly
what it was. All right, so Baylor, Oklahoma State tomorrow. That's your 11 a.m. game. You have Oregon, Utah tonight, which I'm glad they're doing that. That'll be at 7 o'clock on ABC. Oregon obviously is out of it. Utah seems to be the pick here. Utah's favored by 2.5. Oregon was actually moving probably in the right direction, but I'm going to take Utah on this thing. I like Utah. Their running game, their offensive line is legit.
Ooh.
And Cameron Rising, baby.
You're thinking Utah.
Yeah, Utah's favored in this game for a reason.
I know. It's so weird, man. The Pac-12 is like that. I gave you that stat yesterday about the Pac-12. The Pac-12 is just one of those championship, when they're championship games, wacky things can happen. I'm going to take.
You can take Oregon.
Nah, you got me rethinking it. You know your college football. You talk
2.5.
I'll take Oregon.
Okay. All right.
But I'm with you, though. Wacky things happen in these
championship
games.
So if you lose, you have to grow a mohawk.
Are you picking that and beat the plug? Are you done with
it? We're going to do one for, like, the bowl season, but there's no other –
games. Got no Texas games.
So the whole beat the pluck is I go hang out with listeners.
Nah, that's true. I forgot about that.
We'll bring Dave on.
The free wings
and all
one.
That. So
I thought about it.
So don't blame us. Blame Texas.
But who ended up winning beat the plug, though?
We tied.
Oh, what?
Yeah. So no.
Man.
So we're gonna do
What's
one. We're gonna do one for the bowls.
Okay.
And that'll be the tiebreaker.
You guys ended up tied.
We did.
That's crazy.
Six apiece. We were back and forth all year long. Yeah,
stuff.
It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Baylor, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State favored by 6 in this thing. Gary Bohannon. They're making it sound like he's up in the air. I'd be surprised.
No, he's
if
not gonna play.
He's not gonna play. Right.
No, we saw him. We saw that both you and I. Yeah. We saw that injury. Said, man, he's done. He looked like he got shot when
he's done till the spring.
He's done till the spring. I think is it Shapen or Shippen?
Shapen, I believe.
The quarterback that
Blake Shapen,
the backup quarterback that's playing, and he's actually. I think he's more than serviceable for him, considering their recipe to win.
I was about to say.
It's all about the running game for them. I knew Abram Smith actually did leave the game early in their last game versus Tech, but I think he'll end up playing in the game. But Tristan Ebner and the running game, along with Abram Smith, that's the heart and soul. That's the identity of the offense. So as long as the backup quarterback doesn't make a lot of mistakes, you know, Baylor can still play their style. But the problem with that is, stylistically, Oklahoma State plays the same style, except they're better than Baylor.
Yep, they're a better version of it.
Yeah, exactly. They're a better version of Baylor.
I'll take their defense. I mean, their defense is, I think, probably going to do a number on Baylor.
Yeah.
And I could see this being a low-scoring game. It's funny, 46.5 for the over-under. The Big 12 is just not the Big 12 anymore. Well, although any of us that have been following it and watching it have been saying that for a couple of years. No,
the only person that didn't know that was PK.
Right.
He was watching film from 2008, I guess, or something like that.
Unfortunately, some fruit to that.
But how about this? Baylor, remember last time they played Oklahoma State in the regular season, they were +3 in turnover margin, and they didn't commit a turnover themselves. And they lost by double digits.
Yeah. I think that tells you everything.
Exactly, to the point of Oklahoma State being a better version of Baylor in that regard. So, yeah, I'll take Oklahoma State.
All right, I'm with you on that. The game, obviously, is going to be Georgia-Alabama. I'm excited about it. I'm kind of with you, man, as we get here a day before. I think Georgia wins this by double digits.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, they don't have – you know, the real test for me is going to be that Georgia offense against the Alabama defense. The Alabama defense is pretty good. It's the Alabama offense and that offensive line. They're going to have some problems against those big boys.
Yeah, I think Nick Saban is going to blitz Stetson Bennett. He did it a ton last year when, you know, obviously different Alabama team, different Georgia team. But Nick Saban, I think, blitzed Stetson Bennett 14 times. That was the most he had been blitzed in any game that season. And I think that's what he's going to do in this game if they can force Stetson Bennett. Remember we talked about him being he's what limits that Georgia team.
Force him to win this game.
If you can put everything on Stetson Bennett, force Stetson Bennett into some compromising positions, he may have made some mistakes, and I think that's what Alabama's going to try to do versus Georgia.
Yeah, I do too, but this Georgia defense is just we talk about Jordan Davis a lot. We talk about Nakobe Dean.
What's next level?
I mean, you go all the way through, and they've just got some big boys. They've got guys that you can't double team that you usually would double team, and I'm talking outside of Jordan Davis.
Normally, it seems impenetrable at this point. We haven't seen a defense this good or this dominant since Bama 2009.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a generationally good defense for Georgia. But it'll be interesting to see if – I don't know, if Nick Saban tries to throw something, or Bill O'Brien too, if they try to throw something that breaks tendency against that Georgia defense. But I don't know what they could do right now because the offensive line is the biggest flaw for that Alabama offense. And that Alabama offensive line going up against the Georgia defensive front, that's a severe mismatch.
It is. There are some good individual matchups in this game. Evan Neal going up. I'm not sure who will be going up against. At times it could be Devontae Wyatt. Probably not going to see him going up against Jordan Davis. He's a left tackle, and Davis is more their zero technique. But Trayvon Walker, kind of go through the whole team. Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean. This team is so good. Individually, I love the Jamison Williams matchup, who was originally at Ohio State. Yep. Couldn't crack their starting lineup, so now he's going to be a first-round pick for Alabama.
It's crazy.
Which is nuts. So if Bryce Young, if he can hit Jamison Williams, who'll be going up against Darion Kendrick, who was the kid who got kicked out of Clemson, remember, and then ended up going to Georgia.
Yep.
So we'll see how all that plays out. That was a big get for Georgia, and that's the one thing. Maybe their back end, if they do really get tested. We were hoping that would happen against Ohio State. That's not going to happen, so we'll see what Bryce Young can do. But some really good NFL-type individual matchups in this game.
Yeah, Bryce Young, too. I mean, he's trying to win the Heisman.
Yeah.
He's a great – if he has a good game versus – it didn't have to be a great game either because we haven't really seen anybody – have success versus his Georgia defense. So if he just has a good game versus Georgia and keeps them in the game, he's probably going to win the Heisman out of, you know, I mean, honestly, it'll be kind of more of a battle of attrition now at the Heisman instead of a Heisman competition. But he right now is the front runner.
God, this would have been a great year for a defensive player to
win
it.
Would have been.
It really would be. But there's just not one who's – I mean, you could maybe say
Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's no dominant defensive player like Ndamukong Suh was in 2009. Or at when Charles Woodson won it, there's no dominant defensive player, but there's no surefire winner on the offensive side either.
So Houston, Cincinnati, we're going to end up supreme lending picks. We're taking Cincinnati. That was one of the close ones that we actually thought about. But Houston's 11-1, 10.5 point spread though. If you're looking at that, I'd take the Cougs.
Yeah, I can see that. Just because this is a big game for Cincinnati. I mean, it might be it's the biggest game in the history of the program.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right, because if they win, they control their own fate to getting to the college football playoff.
No, this is the biggest game in Cincinnati.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure for a program. And U of H, I mean, they haven't lost a game since they lost to Texas Tech at the beginning of the year. They've gotten better every week, and that defense is underrated. They can rush the passer with the top five best teams in the country. They really can. So they're gonna make Desmond Ridder's life hell. We'll see if Cincinnati can avoid third and longs against that U of H defense, then I think they'll win. If they're in third and long a lot, man, that can be disaster versus this U of H defense.
Oh, absolutely.
They can rush the passer. People are going to see that when they watch this game.
Michigan, Iowa, that'll be the night game, 7 o'clock. And obviously this is big just because Michigan wins. They're going to be in. They are the number two seed. They should win this thing. They're favored by 11. Iowa's not that great, but Iowa can really get rolling and steamrolling when they get interceptions. They did that with Nebraska. They blocked a punt. They got a couple picks. When they were really rolling early in the year, it was about turnovers, turnovers, turnovers. I'm not sure Michigan's going to even give them that chance.
No, and that Iowa offense is borderline incompetent.
It's bad.
It's not good. It's really, really bad. So I think Michigan, even if they're sloppy early on, and I don't mean sloppy like turnover, sloppy meaning like the offense is just a little discombobulated and can't really get its rhythm, I think over four quarters, they'll impose their will on Iowa. And the style that Jim Harbaugh wants to play, it's not a high-risk style, right? It's kind of a low-risk, high-reward style. They don't ask their quarterback to a ton. They want to pound the rock, and they're going to be able to pound the rock on Iowa.
But really, the storyline for me tomorrow is can Kirby Smart get – everything is set up for him to finally beat Nick Saban and to get the W. And we go back to, what was it, 2nd and 26 when – it feels like Georgia is about to win the national championship, and Tua hits Devontae Smith. Mm. Georgia has got to give Kirby a ton of credit. He has built a powerhouse there. Now it's about finishing that off, getting that SEC championship, beating Alabama, and being the one seed. If Georgia loses this, are they still in?
Yeah.
I would think so.
They are.
And then everyone, whether you're Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, doesn't matter. You are rooting for Georgia to get the W tomorrow.
I think
kick
so.
Bama out. Because if Bama beats them, there's a good chance Bama and Georgia are in there. And then all of a sudden that could really hurt an Oklahoma State who is set up to get in this thing and should be. They've got, what, three top 25 wins? Notre Dame doesn't have one. They should be ahead of Notre Dame. If Oklahoma State wins tomorrow, they should be in the college football playoff. That'll be a hell of a story for our boy, the Mullet.
Wow. Yeah, that'd be – man, that would be a hell of a season for Oklahoma State to end up in the college football playoff. I think ultimately if Georgia beats Bama, and I think they beat them by double digits, takes Bama out of it. I think if Cincinnati ends up winning, that could clear things up and then honestly kind of make way for Oklahoma State to make a move to try to get in that thing. But it's gonna be tough, I think, for Oklahoma State and everybody else. I think because if Bama keeps it close, I still think the committee could justify trying to keep Bama in it.
They could.
If
yeah,
it's a
you're
close
right.
Win,
I know what you're saying.
I don't think it's going to be a close one. I think Georgia's going to win by double digits.
It just
and get Bama out of it.
What about that Oklahoma State offense going up against Georgia's defense if they end up matching up?
That's terrible.
I was just thinking about that. I'm like,
we don't want to watch that.
Oklahoma State defense is physical as hell, but
it is. It's legit, but you're right.
That's going to be ugly.
That's a bad matchup for Oklahoma State.
It's a really bad matchup. Hey, I'll be watching all this stuff, and I'll be watching it with perfect vision thanks to the awesome people at Sharp Vision Modern LASIK. Get in there and see what we're talking about. They got LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Guaranteed financing approval. You just go online or call 512-596-2020, 512-596-2020. Schedule that free consultation. Essentially, that's a free eye exam. So that's one of the cool things is that if something's going on, you're going to find out about it. But more importantly, you're going to find out if you qualify for LASIK. If you do, that means they can get you down to at least 2020. They got me down to 2015. I've gotten some people down to 2010. That's obviously just dependent on you and your eyes. But go in there and have them take a look at your eyes. It's Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, the official LASIK provider of Austin FC. Once again, 512-596-2020 or sharpvision.com. Man, I'm ready for this, dude. I'm ready for this. Georgia-Bama is obviously the one I'm looking at, but I like some of the games around it. And what I also hope is I hope we get a little bit of chaos. And I say that partially as a Notre Dame fan, but that's what this year's been. This year has been about parity. There's not been a lot of separation. And when you think something's going to zig, it zags.
Yeah, I could see U of H pulling the upset just because it's a big game for Cincinnati. They haven't been in this situation before. Could also see, I'm trying to think. I can't see Bama upsetting Georgia. I don't know. I mean, of course, that's crazy to say it can't happen because it's Nick Saban, but
it could happen. Here's how it happens, is that their defense stuffs them, and they hit on some big plays.
Bama does?
Yeah.
On that Georgia defense.
Big plays. Yeah. I mean, I kind of feel like this is – they're going to have to win this like Texas did against Nebraska's defense in 96. That defense was that damn good. And they did it. They were actually able to establish the run, but they popped some big runs, popped the big one with Priest Holmes. And then still, majority of the time, they're having physicality problems with that Nebraska team. But then, boom, you get Wayne McGarrity on a corner route. Like, it's big plays.
Yeah.
That's how you're going to have to beat this team. You're not gonna put together, with that offensive line, sustained 11-play drives.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They gotta finishing break, with seven.
They got to break tendencies.
They got to. They got to. And I think it's Jamison Williams. They got to roll with him. Mechie, trying to get those guys in space and let Bryce Young do what he does. You're right. You talked about it with Bryce Young. Bryce Young, if he has a big game and they do pull this upset, he's going to be your Heisman winner.
No question. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
That's it.
They pull the upset, you can just give him the Heisman already.
He's got it at that point.
But I don't – man, like I said, it's – right now, every different way, every hypothetical I kind of throw out there, it's hard for me to see this Alabama team beating this Georgia team, but that's why they play the game.
That's why they do it. Yeah. All right, we'll talk more pro football, especially coming up at 5 o'clock. We'll get into the NFL schedule and some games that we like. We'll give you the rest of our Supreme Lending picks as well. Up next, this should be pretty cool. It's Saturday night at the HEB Center, and it's ice racing. So Rod and I are just figuring out about this. It's ATVs on ice.
Wow.
Just the sound of it is pretty cool. We're going to talk to some ice racers coming up next. They're going to give us the 411 on what this is all about. We are at Total Men's Primary Care, Anderson Mills, 620. Come on by. Bring a new unwrapped gift for Toys for Tots. We're giving away boots. We've got food. We're giving away a lot of stuff. Gift cards, too. I mean, you went through the whole list earlier.
Giving away tickets to ice racing.
Giving away tickets to ice racing, which will be Saturday night tomorrow night at the HEB Center. We'll find out more about that coming up next. This is RBKD on the Horn.
I like that five-star recruit at Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one-and-done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
All right, let's do a little one-and-done here. We're at Total Men's Primary Care, and we're getting excited for this weekend. Obviously, a lot of good football action, and we're going to have you covered tomorrow for high school football here on the Horn. Texas basketball coming up at 6 o'clock, 5:30 is the pregame, so we're going to be out here in about an hour. But we're really excited about this, too, because tomorrow night at the HEB Center, we have ice racing, and we're actually going to be giving away some tickets here, Rod.
We are.
It's ATVs on ice. Now, I don't think you and I know much about this, but we got someone here and who's going to help us out. In fact, we got a couple of the ice racers or people that are part of the event that are really excited about
it. Yeah, my man Ken is joining us now. And can you give everybody your official – because you are the owner of the series, correct?
Yep. Okay. Owner-promoter.
Owner and promoter of
the series. Now, you were on B&E this morning.
Yes.
Good interview.
Yes. Yeah.
You made them sound good.
Thank you.
Rarely happens. I'm kidding. No, it was good. But I think it probably got me excited.
It got you excited.
I was just like, what is this?
And go ahead, please.
Yeah, no, like I said, you know, back home, I'm a horseshoer back home also, horseshoer by trade, stuntman in TV shows and movies out of Chicago for the last 25 years. And then, obviously, I was snowcross racing for a long time, came into flat track racing, took over the series in 2015 after riding it at the pro level for 6 years. And super excited to bring it to Texas, you know. So got off of it a little bit. But so I've rodeoed. I've been around horses. Wow. I'm a horse guy at home.
You're a stuntman. You must have stories for days with that. Yeah.
So, and I started doing stunts on horses and stuff, but I bring that to Texas. There's all kinds of horses here. Who cares? Okay. So let's bring ice racing.
Anytime.
Let's bring indoor ice racing to Texas and see what, you know, they can see what Wisconsin's got, you know, all the way down there. Obviously, we travel all over the United States with this series. You know, these guys, when I say it's legitimately over the past few years, these are the top 10 best in both divisions, the bike and the quad divisions. We've got many past champions that are here. You know, and then the big thing is everybody says, well, on ice, how do you get traction, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, that's the number one question.
So there's a special stud. The quads got anywhere from 13 to 1,500 studs between all four tires. It's a special screw made by Cold Cutter strictly for indoor racing. So it's a little bit shorter screw because we clean the ice off. So you got a perfectly clean surface. It gets cleaned every four heats, right? So this smaller screw is domed out. And you can literally wheelie from one end of the course to the other. It's a short course. And you can get 0 to 60 in 3 seconds going down the course. But when you go to hit the brakes, there's not much for brake. So
that's where it gets fun.
It's short, tight. Are like the four-wheelers, they're built by Rath Racing up there in Minnesota. Sway bars are like mini sprint cars.
It's amazing.
Cruising around this oval with chainsaws for tires, essentially.
That's crazy.
You know, just... tearing stuff.
I saw guys get knocked off of the bikes, knocked off of the ATVs.
Yes.
I mean, do you stop the race when somebody gets knocked off?
Yeah, well,
of
the one in the promo video, unfortunately, that was me. That was the work.
Oh, that was
the worst wreck I've had in a while. Guy stalled in the line, and it's so fast. I came around the corner. By the time I lifted my head, he was right there stalled out in the middle of the course, and and I hit him at, like, 45, 50 miles an hour.
How fast are they getting at their peak? Because I saw they go, I mean, it's in a, or they go in loops, right? You said about four different laps?
Yeah, four lap heats.
And everybody lap heats.
Well, everybody says, well, Ken, how come only four laps? You know, we're coming to watch this. We've watched dirt racing all our life. How come there's only four laps? So we start with 3 inches of ice, okay? We've got to get through both pro classes, the LCQs, so two heats, LCQ, and the finals with 3 inches of ice. Yeah. So... with that being said, it's four-lap heats. So you've got to get the hole shot, and you've got to make it happen quick. If you're the guy that can't get the hole shot, but you can, you know, in like other races, but you can make it through the shuffle, most likely it isn't going to happen. You got to get the hole shot. You got to get out front, and you got to make it happen quick.
Wow.
And then the mains are eight laps.
How dangerous is this?
It can get dangerous. If you're, like you see in the video, the one wreck.
Yeah.
Put a couple tears in my knee. If you get If you get hit by a tire, I've seen guys get their arms and legs shredded right up. It'll rip the gear right off you. It is dangerous.
Hmm. No, it looks dangerous. How long has this been a thing?
Ice Since racing. 1976.
I mean, I can't remember.
Did it start
I
Wisconsin?
Heard about it.
It did not start in Wisconsin. It actually started in Colorado by the Densfords.
Well, that makes sense.
And, you know, and they started traveling all over with it, United States and Canada. And then, like I said, I didn't know about it. And when I got busted up snow cross and I got to that, I wanted to keep racing. So I got into flat, built the track on the lake in front of my house, got into flat track racing. And all of a sudden I looked this up. I'm like, what is this? Back in 2010, within a year, I was riding a pro class and competing fairly well.
You built a track. So there was a lake, it's frozen. And
yeah, at my house for practice, I had a track that I plowed off and would practice right out in front of the house every night.
Come on.
So
and you got bigger balls than we do, and more than me.
Hello, kid, you're still a stuntman?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of gave a spiff this morning that, you know, we're going to have a special guest. But I've been doing stunts in movies and TV shows for 25 years. I feel very privileged as I was able to start doing that when I was 18.
Wow.
And
are there any of those you can talk about? Like,
right now, working on Chicago Fire. If there's any Chicago Fire fans out there, you know, the biggest stunt I did lately was a couple weeks ago. 3 weeks ago it was on. We did a full body burn. They started the priest on fire. So anybody that's a Chicago Fire fan and seen the TV
that
show, they know what I'm talking about. So that was me.
How do they light you on fire without lighting you on fire?
It's got a suit, right? Is it a suit?
Can you not give? Can you
You're like a magician.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We can't give away all the trade secrets.
Come on.
But
nice.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
So Chicago Fire is one of the main things I'm working right now. 61st Street just finished up that TV show. Going to be starting another one pretty quick here.
What age do you stop being a stuntman? Because I mean, I played ball, and I mean, that's a short career. Your body has to be giving out on you pretty soon.
There's things that I would have done 20 years ago that I don't do now.
Yeah.
But there's things that I've been able to do that some of the young guys don't do. You know, as far as
because you're wiser
the body
now.
Burns and stuff, yeah, that some of the young guys don't do that are just getting into it. And I feel privileged that Rick Lefevre has got me involved in that.
That's cool. So your experience really helps out there.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, we're excited about this. Anything else? I mean, for fans that maybe you're thinking about going out to the HEB Center tomorrow, what would you tell them to expect and why they should come?
You know, it's the only place or time or location you can see this is right here at World Championship Ice Racing. I'm not just saying it. We're the only ones that do it in the United States.
Nice.
So to be able to see this tour, and honestly, these are the fastest guys in the United States that come together for this tour every winter. They race on the dirt all summer long, and then we get together in the winter and do this series. Like I said, we got any Chicago Fire fans, come out. More than happy to talk to the crowd. We got Scotty Dubler. He is the voice of American Flat Track. He is our announcer tomorrow night. And it's just exhilarating. It's like nothing you've ever seen.
Oh, man.
You know, and you can't even picture it unless you've seen it.
Yeah, people should, if they're thinking, I don't know if I want to do that, get online and check it out. And if you get to HEBCenter.com, I believe they've got some videos.
Yep, and World Championship Ice Racing on Facebook if you want to see some past videos.
It's quite
the crashes,
scene, man.
The wrecks, and how fast this actually is. There's the only way to tell exactly how fast this is to be there in person.
Right.
Yeah. And how dangerous it is.
Yep. It's crazy fast. It's dangerous. It's tight quarters. When it goes wrong, it goes wrong.
No, I'm glad you brought it to the South too, because we're not used to this thing. And is it outside up north? Do they ice race outside?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But the inside is a whole different dynamic.
Inside is a whole different.
Yeah, because it's so confined and tight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you said so slowing down is the biggest issue.
Yes. Yes. Like outside, you know,
but that's
you got
also
that
the fun
big
of it.
Course where, you know, you can run first through fifth. Where indoor, it's first, second gear. Top of the gear, sometimes third gear, but it's tight, and you're on the throttle, you're off the throttle.
Yeah.
There's lots of gas, lots of traction to take off. Brakes, not so much.
Man.
So.
No, it is fascinating. It sounds like a lot of fun, too. So we appreciate the time, Ken.
Thank you very much, Ken. We appreciate you being here.
Yeah, we appreciate you guys doing what you're doing and having us on.
Are you kidding me? We're going to try and get some people out there. I think all of us, when I heard the interview this morning and then started looking at it, I thought, this is wild.
Yeah.
So we got some wild listeners. I think it's probably going to be a good marriage and a good fit. So we appreciate you coming by, man.
Awesome. Thanks, I appreciate you having us.
Good luck tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow.
Stunt yeah, if you can get out there. It is the World Championship Ice Racing Series at the ATV Center at Cedar Park. Get out there. Starts at 7 p.m. But get out there. And I actually heard you say that some of the kids may have a chance to meet some of the ice racers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So what's going to happen? Yes. I'm glad you brought that up.
Okay.
So, you know how it was with kids and the football and You know, for the kids to meet their idols and to meet what they just saw is huge, right?
It is huge.
So at the end of the night, after all the races are done, the guys get done with the trophy presentations and stuff. They're all going to go up to a table up in the where everybody exits,
nice.
And you can get every racer's autograph.
That's cool.
So we want the kids to interact with all the pro racers, meet them, talk to them, and, you know, then they can go on Facebook and follow them throughout the year.
I mean, you guys are like superheroes to them and hanging out on ATVs on ice.
And we want to grow the sport, you know.
Yes, right.
A lot of these kids, if they're racing, maybe they never had an interest of getting on a four-wheeler or a bike and taking it one step further, and maybe this will make them drive and do one more thing. Get off that computer inside.
Yeah.
Go out and rip around out in the yard on your four-wheeler or your dirt bike.
Well, you said that all these racers, including yourself, I mean, you guys started out racing with dirt bikes and other ATVs, and then just decided, you know what, let's go more extreme. Let's go to the ice.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Well, thanks, Ken. We appreciate the time, brother.
I appreciate you guys.
No, awesome.
It's a great league.
That should be fun tomorrow night.
He is the head promoter, and he's the owner of the World Championship Ice Racing Series. Also a stuntman at, I think he said he was 45?
Yep.
45-year-old stuntman. What age did you stop being a stuntman?
I don't know. You keep on bringing the age up with the man over here.
No, it's amazing. It's like
trying to get him to retire.
It's like Tom Brady, a stuntman. I'm just saying, I thought you retire early as a stuntman.
I don't know. It's like with magicians.
It's gotta be hard
on your body. I always want to figure out what the trick is. And Ken's like, I can't tell you.
I want to know how you get into stuntman, being a stuntman. Like, when was your first gig? Like,
yeah, what was the gateway to becoming a stuntman?
Yeah, exactly, right?
It sounds like
you guys got time for a real quick story. So if you remember a TV show back in the day called Early Edition, back in 96 or whatever it was. So one of my buddies is like, Ken, you want to come down and work on Early Edition, which was Rick Lefevre, one of the biggest stunt coordinators, stunt men in the United States. I can go on and on with movies. He's done 324 movies or whatever. And I'm like, man, that'd be super cool. You know, I'm like 18, 19 years old. I'm like, I get to go work on a TV show. But what's going to happen is we're going to reenact this horse race at the Hawthorne Racetrack. And so what the deal was, an Early Edition, there was the first scene where Kyle Chandler, something bad happened, and then he got the newspaper day before everybody else because the cat brought it to him. So then he would save that situation. So this particular situation, we were reenacting a horse race.
All right.
I'm sitting in the crowd, and if I make this bad bet, the mob's coming after me. And I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself real quick. The whole point of this story is, so I get down there, and they're like, Ken, we just want you, the day before, they're like, we just want you to be safety. So if something goes wrong, we're going to have you, your horse. If one of the horse gets loose, you're going to be the guy that goes and gets the horse and making sure no horses are running around, galloping around, nobody on them. So we get there that morning, we pull up, and I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. And Rick's like, Frank, you didn't tell Ken? He's got to get in hair and makeup and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, Ken, you're really not going to be riding your horse, catching the horses if they get loose. You're getting run over by six of them.
Oh, my God.
So.
What?
Yeah, so what happened was the cameras are like this. I get chased by the mob because I make this bad bet. I run down through the paddocks. Six head of horses smoke me. I get run over. The next one, Kyle Chandler saves me. Rick Lefevre is a stunt double. Saves me, takes me off. Now the kicker is, I'll give away the secret, when the horses come in, they split in the middle. But when that first hoof comes in, I like throw my body, my legs up over my head. So from the side, it looks like I absolutely get trampled.
But it's still live horses, though.
Yeah. So they called Rick. They're like,
and how did you know to do that?
I had to trust the guys.
Wow.
That when they came into me, they were going to move around me. I had to stick to my spot. So where I threw my head or threw my feet up over my head, I had to pick my spot.
Stay on that.
If I went sideways, you know, they were going to stay tight and come right around me.
So you could get trampled.
So everybody had to play their part or somebody was getting hurt. So after that, they called Richter, like, man, how bad did you hurt that guy? Like, how bad did he get hurt? Ended up on that TV show for 2.5 years. Ended up doubling.
Man.
Doubling.
No training.
No
training.
That's crazy.
No. This is a natural.
You
ever done any movies with Alec Baldwin?
That's fantastic.
No.
Okay. No, I'm just curious. Just curious.
Come on.
No, I'm not making light of that situation because that was really serious. But it's also, I've seen a lot of stuntmen talking about it now and talking about how.
That's been a huge, it's
about
been a huge subject on set.
It's been, I can only imagine.
I've done a lot of firearm stuff, and we did it in Superman, The Dark Knight, a few other movies, and. That's a tragedy.
You're not going to be able to leave now. He's a comic
nerd. It shouldn't
nerd.
Happen. So,
this is true. Yeah. Now I want to know some of the trade secrets.
God. Rod, you just fired Rod up so
much by talking
about Superman and Batman. No. Hey, Ken, this is awesome, man. We really appreciate it. We're going to get people out
thanks
to the HEB Center. Thanks for the stories.
We appreciate it.
What an incredible life.
All right.
Good stuff right there. All right, we got Off the Record coming up next.
Coming up next, got Off the Record, and apparently Brian Kelly now has a Southern accent.
Unbelievable.
Didn't take long. We'll have that
coming up
Off the Record right here on RBKD, right here on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260.
DD Mega Doodoo. I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. And thing sucks.
Welcome back to RBKD. Time for another edition of Off the Record. We got to discuss Brian Kelly. Apparently went to, I think it was a women's basketball game there at LSU to be introduced to the crowd there and all the LSU fans. And Brian Kelly gave a speech, and there's some video that actually surfaced and went viral of the speech that he gave to the crowd. And there are a lot of people observing that he has a different tone. Is it
accent?
Accent that he has a bit of southern hue, southern dialect, if you will, now.
And it's so uncomfortable, too. I listened to it a couple times today, and I just thought, what? Oh, man. It's look, all
you've heard him. I mean, you're a Notre Dame fan.
Yes. So, yes. It's an affectation.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
Right. Well, we see politicians do that a lot.
Well, his dad was a politician, wasn't he?
I think he was.
Was his father a politician?
I think he could call him that. But yeah, we see politicians do it all the time. It's just, it's so, I don't know. It's so unauthentic.
Could it be subconscious? Does it have to be something that is deliberate?
You think he just got down there?
Premeditated?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
You're trying to fit in. Look, Mac did that a little bit here.
Yeah, but Mac's happened over a period of time. I think that was
I remember
so it was a
like
gradual process.
I remember 98, 99 and thinking, now he's also coming from Tennessee, so there may not be that
big leap, a
change where he's from Tennessee and obviously would have spent time.
I mean, what is this guy? He's got
Carolina.
Boston, isn't he?
He's from outside of Massachusetts, Boston guy. Yeah. He's been a whole time.
It's very true.
Central Michigan, Cincinnati, and Notre Dame.
So he's been winning Rome.
I know.
He wants to be.
Look,
Southern.
And I've tried not to be the guy the last couple of days, just burying Brian Kelly. I've given him a lot of credit. They can't make the Marcus Freeman hire if Brian Kelly does not do as well as he does at Notre Dame. It afforded Jack Swarbrick to make that move. We'll see if that move works out. But there's just always stuff about Brian Kelly that's kind of irked me. I'm glad he's not my head coach anymore. Let me put it to you that way.
Coaches.
As good of a head coach as he is, with stuff like this, I am.
I think people, and I.
Notre Dame goes 4-8 next year. I'll quickly change my tune.
I think we all will. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I the assumption is that Notre Dame is not going to miss that much of a beat because they're keeping a lot of
the stability
there. And with Tommy Rees still there and Marcus Freeman, defensive strategies and schemes are still going to be the same. But the culture is going to be different because it's not Brian Kelly's culture. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's bad. But I'll say this. Coaches, I've always said, they're politicians.
Yes, they are.
And so this should be expected.
The good ones are.
The good ones are. And they have to, you know, they're held accountable by the court of public opinion. So he wants the public to like him, sound like your constituency.
I agree. I think it's just easier.
Try to sound and look like them as much as you can. Mannerisms, all that kind of stuff.
Because Saban has kind of added a little bit of that. But he's also been there for 10 years. And so it's easier over time. Occasionally I'll hear Saban and I'm like, you know, and that's where if you're at any spot for a long time, yeah, you're going to probably start sounding like that a little bit more. That's just, that's natural. That's not an affectation.
But
that's not being
in
focused.
48 hours.
Not in 48 hours, Rod.
Well, so I'm saying, I'm not saying he's not doing it intentionally, but I think it's smart. It's my point. It works.
We'll see. We'll see.
It works. Ask politicians.
Well, I will say
they
this. What's smart about it, and I said it when he took the job, is that that is such a unique culture and such an awesome culture. I mean, the Cajun culture is as cool as it gets, worldwide even. I mean, it is mm-hmm. that distinct of a different culture. They don't assimilate to you. You assimilate to them. And you adjust to them. Agreed. And I guess he's doing that really damn quickly. I'm surprised he didn't, like, pull out a boudin and, like, a flask and take a shot of something.
I do declare.
That would have been very Cajun of Mr. Brian Kelly.
No, he's going to be eating the food. I guarantee you that. But the food's good. Trust me.
The food's great. Their culture's great. I love it.
But I
don't know if I could do it year round.
I grew up around swamp people.
They go hard.
What, the food?
And drinks.
Oh, everything.
Everything. Everything, they go hard.
No, it's a party culture.
Like, when they came in for a weekend and was hanging out with those LSU guys, by the time Sunday got here,
they know how to get
down. Just thought, man, I just need water and chill a little bit here.
Yeah, they know how to get down.
Yeah, they do.
And the food's real rich. Like, you want a salad after a while.
It is.
Hey, y'all got salads?
Salads?
In the Creole culture?
What the hell
culture?
Are you talking about,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, no salads in the Creole culture, I wonder. But, yeah, no, I'm with you. So, I know it's a little fake. Some people say it's disingenuous. I get it. They're politicians. Coaches are.
That's what they
like
are.
Like it or not, they're politicians. And
but I also like calling out politicians when they're being phony.
Very true. Yeah.
So
it's phony. But you know who doesn't care? LSU.
Right.
They don't care. They know it's phony and fake. They don't care. Just like people who voted for that fake politician, they don't care. They know he's phony.
They know that.
They know he's a fraud. They know. It's like he's mine.
Well, they probably think we don't have any options.
He's mine. He's the one I voted for. It's the devil, you know.
Now, if I hear Marcus Freeman in a couple of days saying, like, exactly, that would be absolutely amazing. Then at that point, I'm going to call out Marcus Freeman. If he adopts, like, a Yankee Chicago type accent, which I'm very familiar with.
How does he sound? I haven't spoken.
He doesn't sound like that. Okay. He doesn't sound like that. He did speak to the team. Did you see the Tommy Rees video?
Yeah,
it was online.
I did see that one.
It's one thing that when you see Tommy Rees there, and I remember because it was not too long ago, I'm watching Tommy Rees play for Notre Dame. I mean, you realize how young they are. Freeman's 35, and Rees looks like what he is. He's 29.
29.
He's been the OC for a couple years now.
I didn't realize he was that young.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Tommy Rees is young. You got a head coach at 35. That's also why I think the Mike Elston move was so big, because Elston's a little bit older. And that's what Marcus Freeman has to do. If he does anything – you talk about this a lot, bring in an older veteran coach.
Yeah.
Bring in someone.
Just for organizational purposes.
Right.
Somebody just know, yeah, I agree.
Maybe Gary Patterson.
Gary Patterson?
That would be the type of guy.
That's
though.
The role that he wants
That's
to.
The type of guy, right?
He wants a role without.
Bring in a Mac Brown or someone like that and say, you know, say, hey, see you, buddy, thank you so much.
You know that Mac Brown's name is coming up for the OU job? Sooners fans are throwing it out.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure it's done in hyperbole, but it's being thrown out.
I would love that.
That would be awesome.
And Mac was awesome here, but at his age.
Well, we still don't know where OU's going with this.
No. Thing. I mean, I don't know where they're going with it.
Nobody knows.
And, you know.
And they're taking their time, too.
They are, which they should.
Because they got
it's
Bob
It's that good
Stoops.
Of a job.
Yeah, but they know Bob Stoops is going to. He'll bridge the gap for him, right? Man. He can help bridge the gap over this chaotic situation they got going on right now.
That really threw them off. And
it did.
It threw Notre Dame off, and Notre Dame was surprised. But you definitely get the sense Warbrick was not as surprised as Castiglione.
Well, just because Brian Kelly couldn't take all of his assistants the way – I mean, Lincoln Riley took everybody.
Yeah, he did.
He took everybody. I mean, he is the OC, so he took the OC.
But he also took Grinch and even as important – or maybe more important, yeah, because, I mean, you could replace Benny White. I like Benny as a guy,
yeah,
but he's an average strength guy.
He took wide receiver coach.
Beedenbow.
Yep, took the O-line
and
coach.
And Dennis Simmons.
Yeah.
But Beedenbow is the key. If you get an offensive line coach like that.
He gutted that staff, at least with Notre Dame. You know, he didn't gut He probably tried, but Brian Kelly couldn't gut the stuff.
No, he did. I mean, he tried to get Reese Freeman, tried to get Elston, tried to get the strength coach.
They chose Notre Dame.
They did.
Brian Kelly. That's important.
It is.
And
it is.
And trying to differentiate between what's happening with Oklahoma and Notre Dame.
It's a huge
top
difference.
Five brands. A lot of people went to Oklahoma to play or for Lincoln Riley or to play at Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley. People went to Notre Dame for Notre Dame, it would seem.
Yeah.
Like the kids and the coaches, they went to Notre Dame for Notre Dame, not the coach.
I think it's real easy for some Notre Dame people that are still really pissed at Brian Kelly to go, see, that just shows you how big of an a-hole he is, that those coaches don't like him. Mike Elston had been with him for 18 years, going back to Central Michigan. Tommy Reese played for him. Tommy Reese thinks a lot of him.
Yeah.
They think a lot of Brian Kelly. Is he a pain in the ass? Yes. But this isn't as cut and dry as, he's an a-hole, they didn't want to coach for him.
Exactly.
I think they probably liked Marcus Freeman and liked where Notre Dame was going.
I was
going
to say, I think they liked Notre Dame and they liked Marcus Freeman. I think it's maybe more about that than it is about Brian Kelly.
Yeah. All right, we got one more segment here. We're going to get back into the NFL, some Supreme Lending picks, and maybe some final thoughts on college football. We got football this weekend, baby, and we've got basketball coming up at 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame. This is RBKD on the Horn.
Singing joy to the world, and here comes Santa Claus. Mama's baking turkey,
and Daddy's making popcorn balls,
and sister's hanging mistletoe.
There's goodwill to all men.
We've got that Christmassy feeling again.
All right, welcome back. We're chatting with a lot of people out here at Total Men's Primary Care. And thanks to all the people that have come out. We're starting to fill this up here a little bit here, buddy.
Yeah, looks good, man.
Toys for Tots.
Toys for Tots for the kiddos.
Get to any Total Men's Primary Care until December 12th, and you can drop something off.
That's right. And we've had a lot of folks come out here, so we really appreciate them. And you can still register, actually, if you are out here. You got a chance to register for a pair of tickets to ice racing, tickets to the World Champion Ice Racing Series happening at the HEB Center tomorrow. Also, you can win Mighty Fine Burgers gift card. You can win a Plucker's gift card, Good Stock gift card, and you also can win a pair of Chisos boots, which are right here in front of me. Pretty
These are nice.
Slick.
They do look comfortable.
They are. I mean, the World and Street is the most comfortable like cowboy boots you can get on the market. I mean, that's what I've been told. Bucky talks about them all the time. And they have, like, a really cool Texas symbol on the heel.
Let me see that.
You haven't seen that? Oh, man, look at that. Boom.
Oh, nice. Very
that's
nice.
That's legit, right?
Yeah.
So you can register. You got to register for any of those gifts if you come out here. But most importantly, Toys for Tots. Bring an unwrapped toy to any Total Men's Primary Care location in Central Texas through December 12th for the kiddos.
Started the show off with talking Cowboys and Saints. Cowboys get the win 27-17, four interceptions. Taysom Hill should not be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, see.
A starting quarterback. In the NFL.
I think are there worse starting? He did hurt his hand. Right?
I know.
Who's the worst starting quarterback in the league right now? Go.
That's a great question.
Who's the worst?
I mean, Darnold's not starting anymore. Darnold's not starting anymore.
You're right about that. It's hard. I mean, because some of the young ones, they're just young, and we don't know if they're bad or they're just young.
Right. Yeah, because Zach Wilson, when he was playing, was awful.
He's awful, but he's still really young, so we don't know if it's that. I mean, yeah, I mean, He could be, potentially, I guess, if he was starting the worst starting quarterback in the league.
I'm looking at it.
It looked pretty
Jared
bad.
Jared Goff's up there.
Oh.
Jared Goff's been bad.
That's
bad, bad.
That is a fall from grace right there.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think he definitely is not a franchise quarterback. Could he be a serviceable bridge quarterback for somebody, potentially, if they knew they were moving on, you know, and they needed to invest in a quarterback in the future? Yeah, he probably could be. Like, for the Texans right now. Taysom Hill probably could be a Texans quarterback since they want to lose anyway. So,
right, he'd be perfect. Sign him up.
Yeah, so I get what you're saying, though, but he was best used as a utility guy, and now he's being forced to be a quarterback. Doesn't look like that experiment's going to pay off for the Saints.
No, it's not. Looking at some of the games this weekend, Chargers-Bengals, that'll be one that definitely I'll be checking out on Sunday. Chargers come in at 6-5, but there's still an appeal to them. They are not a complete team. They've got holes. There's no doubt about it.
Got a good young
quarterback,
though.
If you've
got
Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert flinging it around, I'll check it out.
Yes, good young quarterback. But two good young quarterbacks, you're right, in that matchup. I'll take the Bengals right now. I think the Bengals.
That was one of our picks for Supreme Linden,
it was.
Right?
And I think we took the Bengals. The Chargers, just they started out hot. And remember early on, they were winning in spite of being, you know, a really undisciplined team, had a lot of penalties.
Yep.
They would make kind of a lot of boneheaded mistakes down the stretch. You could almost call them a low IQ football team because they were really inexperienced. Now that stuff is coming back to haunt them. So, yeah, I'll go with the Bengals. The Bengals, I think, are trending in the right direction. I think the Chargers are trending in the wrong direction.
I am totally with you on that. Colts, Texans, by the way. We haven't talked about Texans.
Colts
favored by 10.
They're going to be angry after that game they lost versus the Bucs. And that's a physical team. They know they got to get back on track. The running, I would say the Texans defense is not a terrible defense. Like, it's not bad. Actually, their defense keeps them in games,
yeah,
at least early on. But I think if you start looking at that run game for the Colts, that run game can control the game against the Texans. But I don't know. Look out, man. Tyrod Taylor, now back, though, provides them with a little bit of spark and confidence. So I wouldn't be surprised if they keep that within the number, whatever the number is. What's the number? That's the question.
10.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Texans keep that within 10. I know it sounds crazy.
Yeah, and Taylor's really doing it with his legs because I was looking at some advanced analytics and he's just garbage through the air. But he has been helping him out.
He just keeps plays alive. He just keeps drives alive. Yeah,
well, hell, was that the Miami win that they – what was the win where he ran for a couple touchdowns?
Titans. Titans.
I still can't believe
that. It was crazy. Yeah. But he just makes enough plays. I wouldn't be surprised if they kept it within a number. I know it sounds crazy, but I've been watching the Texans all year and they're bad, but – the defense is not as bad as you think.
Bucks, Falcons, Bucks.
Oh, Bucks. All day, every day, and twice.
All right. I mean, the only reason I ask is because the Falcons have not been great this year.
The Bucks have distractions.
But the Bucks have distractions, and they haven't been great. Yeah, we haven't even really gotten into Antonio Brown. We got into it a little bit, but
yeah.
Brown, he was also nursing an injury. So the thought was that you never want to get suspended for 3 games, but maybe it'll get him back to 100%.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about that. I think the Bucks are – They've acclimated and adapted to an offensive identity without Antonio Brown, so I don't think his loss really is that debilitating for him.
If you're looking at the NFC East and the Cowboys getting that win, the Giants are at the Dolphins. The Dolphins are playing better football, man. The Dolphins are 5-7, still not great, but if you actually look at them the last couple of weeks, I heard Chad kind of laughing about it, how they're playing a hell of a lot better. They're favored by 6. This is where you could get some separation. They should win that game. And let's see the Raiders, especially the way they looked against the Cowboys. If they can still beat up on the NFC East and take out Washington. Then at that point, you're feeling good as you've got, Washington next week.
Yeah. Washington could be, you know, like I said,
you're higher on Washington than I am.
Well, I'm not really high on them, but they're gritty.
They are.
And Tyler Heinicke.
They could surprise people.
Yeah, and that defense, you know, that defensive line, they still got some studs on the defensive front. So I'm not afraid of them, but I am, you know, I think they could spoiler. They could play a spoiler.
Ravens, Steelers, Baltimore favored by 4.5. This is where the Ravens, they've been up and down too. Really, everyone's been up and down. I was talking with someone last night about it, and they just said, look, I mean, everyone in the league has had some games you just look at and go, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, it's been one of those NFL seasons. Yeah, everybody's got some weird, inexplicable loss.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense. Everybody's got one of those.
It's been like that all through football. I mean, college football's been like that. Football's been like that.
Yeah.
Except for Georgia, right. Except for Georgia. We'll see if Georgia is beatable. 49ers, Seahawks. Man, Seattle, this is going to be it for Pete Carroll.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm calling it right now.
Wow.
This is Pete Carroll's last year.
Interesting. That would surprise me.
And we'll see what they do with Russell Wilson.
See, I think the Russell Wilson thing is more likely than the Pete Carroll thing.
Really? Okay.
I think Russell wants out at this point.
I do, too.
I think Russell wants out.
And
we heard that last year a little bit. I think he wants out.
I think he wants out, and I think he's starting to probably look at his age, and they can play forever now at that position.
But it's a good point, though. If Russell's gone, why the hell would you keep Pete Carroll and let him rebuild it?
Pete Carroll's gone.
If Russell leaves, I'm like, Pete Carroll, you got to go, too. I'm rebuilding the whole damn thing. I'm not going to let you rebuild it without Russell.
Right. Well, and it's also they've been trying to rebuild it, and it hasn't been working.
Around Russell, and it hadn't been working, because that's Pete Carroll.
Right. That's exactly it. Yeah. It's been completely different. Broncos at the Chiefs. Does feel like the Chiefs are starting to get their S together a little bit, but Broncos can be scary, too.
Dude.
Broncos, I'm actually excited about this game.
Okay. I am, too, because I think the Chiefs are starting to turn that corner we were talking about.
We'll see what Patrick Surtain can do.
Yeah, it's the defense of the Chiefs that's really – because the offense, it was still pretty much the same offense as last year. It's a turnover.
They were just turning it over.
They were turning it over. They were actually one of the.
They were still one of the top 10 offenses and top 5 in most metrics.
Exactly. They were just one of the most turnover prone offenses in the NFL. But you go look at it and the defense recently, that's what's turned the corner. And I think now they could be, in my opinion, back in that Super Bowl conversation. Because the defense now is playing like it was last year. It's still not an elite defense, but it's playing as well as it was last year.
All right, Rod, you're going to be watching all these games. And if you're watching your Texans, you're definitely going to need something to drink.
Oh, that's right. Definitely going to need some Bud Light. As a matter of fact, no better way to get the weekend started than to do it with a nice ice-cold Bud Light. I see a 80. Within a stone's throw, I can go over there and get myself a nice ice cold case of Bud Light to start the weekend. And that's what you should do too. Stop by your local grocery store or convenience store, pick up a nice ice cold case of Bud Light and start the weekend off right. And if you don't want to do that, you're feeling a little bit lazy, no worries. Download the Drizzly app, and that way you can have Bud Light delivered right to your door. It's a safe and responsible way to enjoy the sure sign of a good time. So Bud Light turns good times into great times and the rest of the times into the best of time. So remember, folks, Bud Light, my choice should be yours too. All year round, Bud Light is America's beer of choice and the world's favorite light beer.
Lots of football this weekend. Don't forget, Westlake Grant Vandergrift will be on these airwaves and be tomorrow as well at DKR. Give Vandergrift a lot of love. Remember, we went out there, and I'm not sure if I was doing it with Chad, but I don't know if you were on board yet or not whenever we went out there and did a remote. And talk with Drew Sanders.
Oh, no, but I like Coach Sanders.
You would love. Yeah. You would love him. And, and it sounds like you probably already know him a little bit.
Yeah, I think I've met him like once.
He was one of those guys. I talked to him for 10 minutes and thought, I'd want to play for you.
Yeah, no, he's really impressive.
And he's done a really good job. Central Texas has just gotten better and better. Was really hoping Bowie would advance to take on Lake Travis. Now you just got to root for LT to try and go all the way. Obviously, OBJ is just kicking ass in 4A, and because of everything that's going on with that program, and certainly the head coach, our prayers and thoughts go out to him and his family. It's just awful. Nothing's going to bring back his son, but right now, kind of galvanizing and having a run to try and go win it for LBJ and for the city of Austin.
Yeah, now that community was already, very supportive and united around LBJ, and now even more so because of that tragedy. So, everybody's rooting for him. Hopefully, they use that as inspiration. Go out there and win it all.
What game are you most excited about this weekend?
What level of football are we talking about?
Any.
Any
you
level of
football?
You can
say Westlake Vandergrift if you
want. Yeah, that's good. I'm going to go probably with Georgia-Alabama. I just want to see – because we all have watched Alabama this year. We all have watched Georgia. We see how dominant that Georgia defense is. I mean, this is the second time in the last 165 games where Nick Saban has been an underdog, and he won the last time.
That's crazy, man.
It's just Nick Saban as an underdog, Alabama as an underdog to Georgia. We have to reprogram our brains, our football brains, to believe what the eye test is telling you is that, no, Georgia is better this year. Georgia's better. Georgia has a better lines of scrimmage. Georgia actually has better overall talent. Yes, Georgia's better than Bama. And I believe it just yet. I'm picking Georgia, but I'm not going to believe it until I see it. I need to see it. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing the GOAT go down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's about time.
I think we're all looking for that. I think you're going to see it. My only question is about that Georgia offense and just how explosive they can be. Keep an eye on number 19, Brock Bowers, the Napa kid that I showed you, the tight end.
I know,
two best tight ends in the country are Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer.
He's a beast.
And Bowers is different than Mayer. Mayer is more that – I mean, Mayer looks like a baby Gronk. Bowers looks almost like an H-back –
I don't know.
At times a wideout. He's big, though.
Who you think is faster?
I think Bowers is.
I think he is, too.
No, I think Bowers is. And I love Michael Mayer, and Mayer is going to be a first-round pick most likely and a really good NFL tight end. Bowers is a game-changer. You know what they clocked him at in high school?
He looks like he can run a legitimate 4.5.
4.5.
No, he looks like he's running a 4.5. Yeah. No, I'm saying
he was running away from Georgia Tech.
He was running away from DBs.
DBs, right.
No, he looks like a legitimate 4.5. Man, y'all better not let Belichick get a hold of that dude.
Oh, God. that would be right up Belichick's alley. And I don't think this guy murders. I don't think. I don't know.
You don't think. Exactly.
Hey, also George Pickens. I mentioned him. He's the Georgia wideout who tore his ACL in the spring.
Yeah.
And that's going to be – if he can come back – And if he all of a sudden gives them a real perimeter threat to go with Bowers, to go with two really good running backs, including Dalvin Cook's brother, James Cook is
– Is he the real deal, too?
Yeah, he's legit. I don't think he's as good as Dalvin, but, damn, he's a game changer.
Damn, runs in the family.
Yeah. Georgia's just killing it. You're going to see how loaded they are tomorrow.
And they've been – you said they've been missing some of their best players.
Yeah, George Pickens. Yeah. And Pickens was an All-American type receiver.
Remember earlier in the year they had a ton of injuries on defense.
Yeah, they did.
It didn't even matter. They were missing like three.
They were missing tons of tight ends early on.
Yeah, you're right.
And they were because Eric Gilbert, I don't think he's even played for them. I don't know what's going on with that young man, but hopefully we can actually finally see him on the field. Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean. Davis is the 6'6", 360 pounder at the zero technique, who can move and run. He's got Devontae Wyatt and Trayvon Walker next to him. Walker and Wyatt are guys that most offensive line coaches would say, we got to double them. And you can't.
You're going to have to.
You can't double everyone.
You got to pick and choose who you're going to double on, what place, like which guys you need to take out of the play, which one of those upfront defenders for Bama is most likely to obliterate and destroy your concept. I'll say that I think you hit the nail on the head, though. I think Bama's going to have to try their best to either break tendency. And when I say break tendency, I mean it by getting deep, chunk yardage plays against this Georgia defense. Because I think trying to be able to, you know, work your way down the field, long, sustained drives, that ain't happening.
No.
That you ain't got no shot. Nobody has a chance at that.
And certainly not this Alabama.
No.
Alabama had to replace her – had to. They replaced their starting center and their right tackle last week. And this is a team that didn't score a point until the quarter. Auburn's got a good defense, but Alabama is, you know, Bill O'B, and maybe it's personnel, but Bill O'B has not been the right answer.
No, he has not. And you know what? It's almost crazy. Remember when I said before the Texas-Oklahoma game that Sark needs to go into the game and break tendency and throw more on first down, lots of play action.
And they did, and it worked.
Down, and it did, and it worked. I almost say Bama needs to have the same idea versus Georgia early on.
Yeah.
Just come out and light them up early
play
on.
Play backwards.
Yep, exactly.
They always say pitch, pitch backwards, play
exactly
backwards.
Exactly right. Totally agree.
And I think they're going to have to do that. That's also what Texas did a little bit, getting back to that Nebraska game. And the reason I bring that up, 96, is because that's how good this Georgia defense is. Probably even better than that one. But the black shirts were the black shirts then, and we knew going into that, we're going to have to hit on some big plays.
Exactly.
They're going to have to be – Priest was going to have to pop a couple – or Ricky or Sean, and Priest did, and that there were going to have to be some Wayne McGarrity, Mike Adams type plays, and there were.
And they got just enough.
That's giving me the chills. I may go home tonight and watch that 96 game. God, that was so great, man.
That's crazy.
Started out with Matt Davis on an out route. That's the first play of the game.
That
a little 11-yard out route.
Is this the one that James Brown guaranteed the win? That's is that the one? Same one?
Nebraska was favored by 21, and JB said, you know what? What if we win by 21?
Yeah, I guess he didn't guarantee. He said, what if we win by 21?
But, yeah, no. That,
everybody said that was a guarantee. He's like, what
but you
guarantee?
Know what? That's also what Alabama needs. They need some of these guys to be not overly confident or not cocky, but really confident saying, no, we're Bama. And we got the GOAT.
Yep.
And we've got a big-time quarterback, and we're going to take it at you.
Because
you don't want to be intimidated if you're Alabama.
No, I'm with you. That's why I can't wait, because he is the GOAT.
Yeah.
And everybody right now is underestimating the GOAT? Oh, man. That's usually when the GOATs do their best. That's usually when they are at their best.
When GOATs are 6.5-point dogs.
Right? Come on.
I used to love that with Michael.
Tom Brady, exactly.
I used to love
Magic MJ.
I used to love it. The few times the Bulls were being doubted, I thought, oh,
that's
you.
What this is.
Thank you.
This is MJ. This is Tom Brady as an underdog. That's what I expect. I expect Stick Saban to come out with something. I expect him to have some.
I do. You can't fix that offensive line, though.
I know, but he's a GOAT for a reason.
Yeah.
And he knows his offensive line is bad, and he knows how good Georgia's defensive front is.
I think Saban. Oh, yeah, and there's no reason to mess with it. The guys I just mentioned, there's the three defensive linemen who you all need to double-team.
Yeah.
Can't double-team them all.
No,
don't mess with it.
Don't mess with it.
Try and go with big plays. Georgia gets the W, though, man. Enjoy your football this weekend,
brother.
It's
going to be fun, brother. Hey, have a good weekend.
You too. Big shout-out to Total Men's Primary Care. We got a new one right here, Anderson Mill and 620. You can always come out here and get a checkup. Any COVID stuff you want to get taken care of, you can do that. Thanks to Derek Coven.
Thanks,
Cohen. Derek. Thanks to Trevor Hines. Derek, good luck with the rookie shaps tomorrow, brother.
And big shout out to Demetrius Harper as well. And then John Reichel, who was back at the studio. Thanks to everyone who came out. Y'all have a great and safe weekend. Enjoy the final full weekend of football. Should be a lot of fun. We'll be back on Monday to talk about it. Texas basketball coming up next. Pre-game at 5:30. And you got the tip at 6 o'clock. That'll do it for us. Peace, y'all.